So again, we're starting from the bottom of the Yud Testament base, the Mishnah, and we'll move into Daf Chaf. And the Gemara, the Mishnah rather, says, "Bikesh l'snamnim." So we already spoke of that the Kohen Gadol stays up all night learning, and we don't want him to fall asleep lest he have a carry and become tummy and everything get complicated. So while he's staying up, "Bikesh l'snamnim," he wants to. He's dozing off a little bit. L'snamnim, the Gemara tells us he's a little bit up. His head's bobbing up and down, and we want to keep him wide awake. We don't want him to fall asleep. So what are you supposed to do to keep him up? So it says the Mishnah, Pirchei Kahuna, which are the younger members of the Kahuna family, Makin Lefanav Be'epes, but they would like hit in front of him with the finger. I'm not sure if it's some type of snapping of some sort. We'll see. The Gemara, I think, explains a little bit more what it is, but some type of noise they would make with their fingers. Betz Batsarda, which is a particular finger, the Gemara tells which finger they would be using to make some noise to keep him awake. But Omer Lom, they would say, Yishei Kohen Gadol, Kohen Gadol, Amud, stand up, V'hifig, Achas al Ritzpa. So Rashi says, Hifig means a tile. They'd make him, drag him around, make him walk around a little bit. Lahafig Shena Meinecha, to wake him up a little bit. And they'd point out that the floor was, they would be barefoot, the floor was like marble and be very cold, and he would wake up from walking around and from the noise. They would basically keep him busy until the morning with making him walk around, with making noise and other types of things. Keep him entertained until the morning so he doesn't sleep. That's what the Mishnah tells us. Ad yagia shazman shchita, until shchita comes. So my tzarda, the Mishnah had said what this he would hit in front of him with some type of figure called the tzarda. So my tzarda. So my Rav Yehuda tzarda dida. So tzarda dida. What?
I think he
showed him, no? So tarasa shazu, the image, right? Like a tzura, I think, right? That we're saying? So the Tsaros are competitors, like two wives. Minus two wives are called Tsaros, so the ones next to each other, they would snap together two fingers next to each other, umahi, like some type of snap exactly, mahi godel. Godel is the thumb. So the thumb and the finger next to the thumb, they'd snap, I think, with the finger, which is hard for us to do, but I think the Rambam says you'd use the middle finger the way we normally snap. So I think it's a machlokas, Rashi, and Rambam, which finger they'd be using, but some type of snapping to, you know, wake up, wake up.
Right.
So Machli Rav Huna showed the Azul Kala Bakuli Beirav, and he showed how to do it. He made a big snap, and apparently the sound amplified throughout the whole base measures they were in.
Yeah, here it says Acharim Sorim Sheha Etzva Trada Hi Ha Ama Ha Etzva Imtai Shehari Nishma Kola Harbe Yoter Mikol Ha Etzva Hasmuchala
Kadol. Right. Exactly. It's very hard to do the pointer finger. I don't know how to do that. My son just learned how to snap. He's very excited. Yeah. I'll give it a little bit.
Yeah, a little right. bit. But not the...
Right, not with the...
This one is, really.
Yeah. So I can't do my left hand, actually. But either way, so that's what they used to do to wake him up.
It's easier.
What?
It's easier.
It doesn't make any sound, though. So, Mark continues and says, "Omrim lo ishe kohen gadol hefiges achas al ritzba v'chule," quoting from the Mishnah, "Samar Rav Yitzchak al chadas... Al Chadas." They'd show him some Der Chiddush, says Rashi. Der Chiddush Hirlan. They'd show him something Chiddush. So, Mai, what do you mean they showed him some Der Chiddush? So, Mai, he says the Gemara, Amri Lei Achoy Keda. They would do some type of, like a push up. You see, look at Rashi, Achoy Keda is no, it's Godlav Be'art. They would stick their thumbs in the ground. Vishokhev, and they'd bend down, Vinoshik as a Ritzbav Omid, and they would kiss the floor and then stand up. So I'm not sure they would do like push-ups with their thumbs, which seems like almost impossible unless you're like Rocky. But that's what they, something like that they were doing. So to show them that, wow, that's very cool, and I'm going to stay up and watch this entertaining show. These are one of the events they would do, the night of Yom Kippur, to keep him awake.
Don't tell over the Gemara with Levi. Levi did that.
Yes. He got
injured.
What was this?
I think it's in Sukkah.
It comes up in three places, I think. I don't remember where they are, though, but it comes up in a few places. Levi, he showed exactly how to do the Akida, right? He bowed down, and then he got injured. So what do you mean he got injured because of that? He got injured because of something else he said. And the Gemara said, no, both things happened. Something he said, and because he had bowed down on the floor, he ended up getting injured. I'm not remembering where it is, though.
No, so it's not easy to do.
Right. So it says the Gemara. So they would keep him busy, entertained until the sun rose and ready for shechita. Tana lo hayu masikin oso, they wouldn't entertain him. Lo b'neve lo b'kinor, these types of instruments, they would not use those. El b'peh, with singing, with speech, I'm not sure exactly what it was. Rashi says, hayu mishorurin l'fanav, they'd sing in front of him, but they wouldn't use any instruments. Uma hayu omrin, what would they say, what would they sing to the Kohen Gadol? Im Hashem lo yivna b'ishav, amala bonav, bo. Is that the end of the pasuk?
Im Hashem lo yivna b'ayis, shav amala bonav.
Oh, right, that's the end of it, exactly.
If Hashem doesn't build the house, then it's for naught that the people work on it.
Right, so Rashi explained exactly. Be careful in the avoda that your avoda should be shem shemaim, and if it's the shem shemaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept all your avoda. Because if it's not Ritzui, if it's not accepted by Hashem, then it's pointless, all the work that you're doing. So basically, wake up, focus, and have the right frame of mind so your vote is going to be accepted. Mikirei Yerushalayim from the...
It's interesting that they can use instruments. In other words...
The fact that they have to even say you can't use instruments sounds like they would in theory be allowed. Maybe that's the point of saying, that don't think you could use instruments.
I'm saying because this is Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur, right?
Already.
Right, but remember it's in the base of Mikdash. Base of Mikdash, there's no shvus.
Right, so I'm saying they used the instruments for the Korbanos.
Right.
During the Korbanos. I'm saying, but you see that
this doesn't count.
Possibility of a
right.
Of a part of the Navoda that you could use.
Because again, the instruments, there's no inherent problem with using instruments. Right. If they break, you might fix it. In the base Mikdash, there's no concern of a shvus of fixing them. So it's permitted, but it's only permitted when there's a purpose. It's tzarech, like the Gemara in the end of the Erevin tells us. Here, there's no purpose. There's a purpose, but it's not a real inherent need to. You could sing just as well. Now, Mikirei Yerushalayim, from the special, the honored, the great people of Yerushalayim, they would say, Lo hayu yishanim ko halayla. They wouldn't sleep. Yikir Yerushalayim wouldn't sleep all night. Kidei sheyishma kohen gadol kol havara. So that the kohen gadol should hear the kol havara, I guess, them learning all night. That's what's talking about. I guess they're learning. Yeah, I assume that's what they're referring to, right?
Yeah, Asku b'divrei Torah kol halayla v'kol sheyatzo mibeinim lo natan lakohen hagadol lehir adem.
Right. We find a few places that Yikir Yerushalayim are mentioned in Shas. One that comes to mind, I think it's Yikir Yerushalayim. No, sorry, Niki Das Yerushalayim. Okay, it's a different language. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, Niki Das Yerushalayim, they would only sign a document if they knew who else was signing the document. They'd only enter into a meal if they knew who else was at the meal. And they'd only give Eidus if they knew who else was giving Eidus. But I think that's the Niki Das Yerushalayim. I'm not sure if there's a difference of Niki Das versus Mikire Yerushalayim. Okay, you find these types of languages, though. Says the Gemara now, Velote Sheina Bechotvaso. So again, they would stay up all night learning in order that Kohen Gadol should hear the voice of learning, which should hopefully inspire him and keep him awake, and he shouldn't fall asleep. Tanya, the Gemara goes further. Tanya, Abba Shaul, Omer, Af Begvulin, Hayu Osakein. Even in the Gvulin, they do the same thing. Zeichel Mikdash, so there's a long standing custom to stay up all night learning in Yom Kippur. Elashay Yuchotin, problem is, when they stay up all night, they try to keep busy. Let's just try to stay up all night. And if you weren't doing L'Shem Shemaim and you weren't doing learning, then it causes Chatam, says Rashi, the last line of the Gemara, Elashay Yuchotin, Misachin Anashim V'Nashim Yachad Ban La'Vera. That's what happens. So sometimes people stay up, it's a din to stay up Shavuos night. I have to stay up Shavuos night. I'll do whatever it takes to stay up Shavuos night. But if you're not up learning, so then you could get yourself into trouble. So you have to be doing the right thing. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi V'Seima Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Targumer Nahardai, they would explain in Naharda, Damarle Eliyahu said to Rav Yehuda, Achud Rav Salah, who was the brother of Rav Salah Chasida, Amrisa, Amai, so he says to Eliyahu, Amai lo asa Mashiach, why does a Mashiach come? V'hoha inna, now, Yumadi Kippurhu, V'ebo kama b'sulasa ben Harda. Oh, so this is Eliyahu speaking to them. He says, you want to know why Mashiach's not coming? It's Yom Kippur. And how many people are being Boel, Basulos in Narda in Yom Kippur? Meaning all the Averis are taking place in Yom Kippur. Why would you expect that the Mashiach should come? So Amalei says to him. So Amalei. So Karsh Baruch Hu, my Amar. What does Karsh Baruch Hu say about this? About this Aveira that's taking place on Yom Kippur. Amalei, Eliyahu responds back to him, the Pesach Hatas Rovets, the Pasuk there would say. The Yetzirah is so powerful, so that's what it's doing. The Yetzirah, I mean Yom Kippur, where people hopefully have the most fear, Sometimes the Yetzer is so powerful, even Yom Kippur, it's going to affect them.
Hashem is Danikov's list,
wasn't that's what they say? Right. It wasn't his fault, meaning...
It's the Yetzer, right?
By top line of Rashi here in Chaf Amin Alf, Rashi says, where your top line, Chaf Amin Alf, he says, the Pesach Chatas Rovitz, very top line, Yetzer Hara Machtio Bal Karcho. Sometimes you have no control. The Yetzer Hara is taking him by the hands and forcing him to do any of errors, and therefore that Kadosh Baruch Hu says it's not their fault. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating that you could ever think that any time a person does an Avera, you could just say, oh, it's the Yetzer Hara. There's a big discussion among the philosophers, I mean the Jewish philosophers, and even the non-Jewish philosophers, what is the nature of the Yetzer Hara? Is the Yetzer Hara this outside force that's going against us, in which case you could say this, the Yetzer Hara is pulling you, or is it some internal struggle? A person has these taivas, and he's trying to overcome them, and he's just lacking self-control. When a person lacks self-control, it's really hard to say that you're being forced into that. That's a person's own fault. But if you understand Yetzer Hara is this outside, this external force that's pulling in a certain direction, then this makes sense to us that the Yetzer Hara could be machtiu, it could bal karcho, it could force you to do a sin.
You're saying that you have a person, even though a person has a choice to miskaber on the Yetzer Hara, but you have a little bit, you can save yourself for the fact that the Kadosh Baruch Hu created the
right.
Yetzer Hara.
So very creation wasn't our fault.
That part, the Masha was supposed to be.
Okay. So now, the Satan, my armor. What does the Satan say on this day? What does he say to about this Avera? Samalei, Satan biyuma dikipura, lest they reshu salastine. Apparently, Yom Kippur, so Eliyahu responds back, the Satan has no reshus to say anything to a person on Yom Kippur. He can't speak.
He's
exactly. Gemara says he's off. Even though they're violating Averas, the Satan cannot go and be the lawyer against him. He's not allowed to speak. So this Gemara actually sounds like there's two different entities. There's the Yetzer Hara and there's the Satan. The Yetzer Hara is this the drive to do something. The Satan is the individual, if you will, who speaks. So the Yetzer Hara is allowed to do things, but the Satan is not allowed to speak, which goes against the Gemara Bava Basra. Remembering now, the Gemara Bava Basra says Yetzer Hara zu Satan zu. What's the third thing? I don't remember. Sounds like the same thing. This sounds like it's two different things, but I didn't get a chance to look into any of this stuff. It's just coming to my mind right now.
Well, it seems that this the. Each person has his own Yetzer Hara, but there's one Satan. Aside from the Gemara,
I hear that. That's interesting. The Satan is the minister.
Right. Whenever you learn, it seems. It seems that that's the way.
I guess you have to still figure out the Gemara, which says who a Satan, who Yetzer Hara. The end of right. The first paragraph of Basra. You have to figure out
what it's trying to say.
Right. How to stem that with these Gemaras. It's an interesting sugya to understand how the Satan and Yitzhara work. External, internal, one individual. Many have their own.
Right.
So the Gemara wants to know, Namimai, how do you know that Satan has no authority, no control at all on Yom Kippur? He can't speak. So Amar Rami Bar Chama, HaSatan B'Gematria Tlas Mea V'Shishin Varba. You do math, HaSatan, Shin is 300. The Hey and Tess is, 314. Plus the Nun is 50, that's 350, that's 664, not 365. So they only have Rosh Hashanah on 364 days of the year, not 365 days of the year. Which day is it not? So let's say the Gemara says, again, Gematria Tlas Mea V'Shishin Varba, 364 Havi. Tlas Mea V'Shishin Varba Yomei Ishle Rosh Hashanah, they have control, they have Rosh Hashanah on 364 days, last Dune to antagonate, but Biyoma Di Kippur, less Le Rosh Hashanah last Dune, but on Yom Kippur they have no Rosh Hashanah.
So basically, according to the Jewish calendar, this is according to the solar.
Right. So that's the question. So why would it be 353 days it should
right.
go according to 364? Yeah. I'm not sure how they explain that. And the second question they ask on this is, the name is Satan, not HaSatan. What's the Hey doing? HaSatan. Why should Hey be part of the Gematria?
Right.
So I think they explain is that anytime you see it mentioned, it's always mentioned as HaSatan, the Satan. There's no other Satan, maybe what you're saying. There's the Satan. So apparently, even though it's not really part of the...
Hey, Hayyid, yeah.
Right.
That's
what he says. Okay. Okay, says the new Mishnah. B'chol yom, every single day, tormin es hamizbech, b'kriyas hagever, they would be, remove some of the ashes. If you look at Rashi explains the top Rashi of the Mishnah, may as well read it in, we have a small amud here. Rashi says, Tormin es hamizbech, hadeshim, the deshin, which was the piled up ashes from the mizbech on top of the mizbech, shuchotim in hadeshin, he would kind of scoop up from the deshin these pile of ashes, bimachte with a pan, Pamachas, one time in the morning, Bein Rav Lamad, whether it's a lot, he got in the pan, whether a little bit. Ubilvad Shalo Yifchos Mimali Komets. It has to have a full Komets. A Komets, we had said before, is when you have like three fingers full and you wipe off the top and the bottom. That amount has to be the minimal amount of the Deshin. It could be as much as you want. But you have to at least do a Komets. But know that what do you do with this Deshin? You go down the ramp. You put it on the eastern side of the ramp. So if we have, there's no pictures here, is there? No. That's where the Mizbeach is here. See, we'll use your phone as Mizbeach, and my phone's the ramp going up. This is the eastern gate, east, west, north, south. So you have from the, here we go, right. So you're going up from the south up into the ramp. So you kept from the Deshin in the middle, the ashes, they take a little bit, go down the ramp, and the eastern part of the ramp, he places it down. The Gemara is going to continue. The mission rather continues. So v'noso b'mizrachol shokevesh, they place it on the eastern part of the ramp. Uvinivla b'mkoma, one of the big nisim we'll see at the end of the parak, and I think maybe it's tomorrow's daffer in 2 days. The ashes get swallowed up. One of the miracles gets swallowed up into the ground, and that's what he would do with these ashes. And back to the Mishnah. So it says again, b'chol yom tormin es mizbech. Every single day they'd be tormin the mizbech. V'kriyas hagever, with the calling of the gever, the Gemara is going to explain what that means, kriyas hagever. It's the morning time. It either means when the person would call out, now the sun the sun is coming up soon, or with the tarnagol, the rooster would make his noise and tell him it's morning time. That's when they would do the torment of Mizbech. The Mishnah continues, O samach lo, or not exactly that point, maybe next to and close proximity of time. O samach lo, bein lefara bein la'achar, a little bit before, sometimes a little bit after. That was the everyday schedule. However, Yom HaKippurim mechatzos, they would do it from midnight. They'd make it much earlier. So usually it would be taking place, let's say, Alos, right before Alos a little bit then. But in Yom Kippur, they'd move it back until midnight. The Gemara will explain the reasoning for it. However, Vergolim and on Shlosh Vergolim, Mashmora Harishona, from the first changing of the guard, if you will, we spoke, if you remember, only from Brachos, that the nighttime split into three Ashmaros, three different guards of the Malachim above, however that works, so that after the end of the first Mishmar, which was a third of the night, a third into the night, let's say an hour, a night's broken up into 12 hours, so let's say 12 equal hours, so 3 hours into the night, let's say a six perfect day, at 9 o'clock at night, when they would do the Trumas Hadeshin, when it came to the Regalim. So three different times during the year.
4 hours.
4 hours, yes. I'm sorry. 4 hours, that would be 10 o'clock at night, I apologize. They break it up into three. V'lo ha'isa kriyasa gever magas ad sha'isa azara milei Yisrael. And this time of the kriyasa gever, whatever kriyasa gever is, we don't know what it is just yet, but let's call it the rooster or the person making the announcement. When that would happen, the Azar would already be full with members of Klal Yisrael. It wasn't every single day. Rashi tells us that's only referring to the Regalim. On the Regalim, it would be full of all the members of Klal Yisrael prepared to bring the Karbanos. So right when it starts, it was full. The Kriyas HaGever would happen, and they begin the process of the Shechita and the rest of the Karban Tavid. So says the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, rather. It's not in Hassan.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
So I understand. So by Regalim, was it? Was it by the first Hashmura, after the first Hashmura, or was it by the... What's the mission saying?
The whole mission says as follows. Every single day of the year, the Trumas right. Hadeshin would take was place that? First thing in the morning.
Right, either before or around the time
exactly.
Of Kriyas HaGever.
Yom Kippurim, midnight.
Midnight.
And then when it came to Regalim, it would be taking place at 10 o'clock at night, before midnight. And when it took place in Regalim, already at 10 o'clock at night, apparently it was filled with the Yidden ready to bring the Korbanos.
There was so many Korbanos. Is it because there were so many Korbanos they had to clean it up before? Or what's the shot?
Oh, for why Regalim is so early?
Yeah.
Oh, the Gemara is going to explain why that is. So now the Gemara quotes from a Mishnah in Zvachim and says, Tanan Hasim. We learned a Mishnah there, namely in Zvachim. Evar Mishapaku Me'agam Mizbech. They had a large fire. And they put the various limbs on the Mizbeach, on the fire, and some of them would fly off. That's what happens in a fire sometimes. Maybe you see even when you do burning the chametz, things like sometimes pop up and fly up. So some of the limbs, the large fire, flew up. So kodem chatzos, let's say a piece of an aver fell off before chatzos. Yachzer, you have to take that limb, put it back into the fire, as long as it happened before chatzos, before midnight. Umo'alen bahen, and you also violate me'ila, let's say that fell off. So normally the din is, after you've been mekayim a certain mitzvah of hekdesh, when hekdesh has reached its potential, the remainder of it you could get hana from it. So since you have to put the aver back onto the fire, So it obviously hasn't completed its requirement of being burnt yet. So if you were to get hana from this Aver, you would be violating the Isra Me'ila of getting any hana of Hekdesh. That's Me'ila. However, let's say La'achar Chatzos. Let's say midnight hit, and then the Aver fell off, went flying from the fire. The din is, says the Mishnah, lo yachzer, you don't have to put it back in, because you already were mekayim the mitzvah of haktar sevarim. Ve'ein mo'alim ben, and also you don't get me'ila, because as we said, once you've completed the mitzvah, there's no longer Isra Me'ila after the mitzvah has been completed. Rashi quotes the Gemara Masechta, which we saw, and it comes up a number of places. The Rashi in Shinasis mitzvah, so ein mo'alim ben. Once a mitzvah has been completed, there's no Isra Me'ila anymore. So Gemara says, how do we know this? What's the source that depends when the Aver went flying off? Did it happen before Chatzos or after Chatzos? What's the source that Chatzos is the limit? So Amar Rav, Kasevech, at one pasuk says, Omer, Kol Halayla v'hikdir, that the entire night you should be makdir, you should be putting things on the Mizbeach. And Kasevech, at another pasuk says, Omer, Kol Halayla v'heirim. Hey, the whole night you should be removing things. It's impossible. How could the pasuk one pasuk tell me to put things on the mizbeach, yet another pasuk tell me to take everything off the mizbeach? It doesn't make any sense. It's obviously a contradiction. Says the Gemara, okay, so how do you reconcile these two different psukim? Half it's split in half. Half of the night is designated for putting things on the mizbeach. Half of the night is dedicated for taking things off the mizbeach. So therefore, when it came to, if an aver flew off before chatzos, then you take the pasuk v'hikter, you have to put it back on. If it flew off after the chatzos, then you could harama, you could leave it off, there's no requirement to put it back on the mizbeach. Okay.
Can we read the pasukim inside to see what...
The context of them? So the pasuks are, the pasukim are as follows. The one that says called Lila v'hikter, that's the pasuk.
Tzavet Aron b'tvanav l'mor zedrat ha'ola, y'ola al-mugdal mizbeach kod ha'layla, at ha'boker, v'esha mizbeach tukat bo. So where is the v'hikter?
Let's see, where is the v'hikter? That's a good question. So I guess, in fact, it doesn't say the word hikter, actually. It talks about ola. Where does it say kol ha'layla even? But Ola means to put things on the Mizbeach, so even though it's not Dafka Hikdir, Ola, the same idea, Kol Alayla, right. You're supposed to put things on top of the Mizbeach. And the second Pasuk says, it's the very next Pasuk. After that says, v'heirim, you're supposed to remove things from the mizbeach and still qualifying the words kol ha'layla. So the way you read it as follows. The pasuk says kol ha'layla, but kol ha'layla tells us, and one pasuk says kol ha'layla ha'ola. The very next pasuk, still talking about kol ha'layla, it starts describing v'harama, removing things from the mizbeach. How is it possible during one period of kol ha'layla, one pasuk tells me to put things on, to be ola things, and one pasuk tells me to be meirim things, to remove things? That's how you read the juxtaposition of the psukim.
But the second pasuk doesn't say kol ha'layla.
No, but the second pasuk is following the first pasuk. They're right next to each other in the Torah. It's right afterwards. Okay. So it's still working off the period, time period of kol ha'layla.
Okay, so it's just taken from the pasuk before.
Right. Because the pasuk never told us, now we're talking about a different time of day. No, we're still talking about the kol ha'layla that we spoke of. And what are you supposed to do during kol ha'layla? Behavim. What do you mean? We just told you to v'hola, to put things on. How are we saying to remove things? The Gemara says, no. One's talking about the first half of the night, one's talking about the second half of the night. So Gemara continues and asks the following question.
It says, and then it says, v'lavash ha'kohen. So the normal shot is that after the boker, that's what he does. It. No, I mean, if I would be reading it, I wouldn't find a problem with the pasuk.
I agree. I would think Pasha Pshat's like what you're saying, but there must be other reasons. Since we know that Shmuz Hadeshin can be done in the nighttime, right, so you can't be interpreting and saying Adboka perhaps in the morning time.
Okay.
So ask the Gemara now, four lines from the bottom of Chaf Amin Aleph, Mesiv Rav Kana. Rav Kana asks, B'chol Yom, from our Mishnah, it says, B'chol Yom Tormines Mizbeach, every single day when we do Shmuz Hadeshin, B'kriyas Agever, O Samech, O Lo, you do it sometime in the morning, right at the start of the morning. So we have three different time periods when Shmuz Hadeshin is being brought. So asks Gemara, Vishakadaitach, if you were to think, Mechatzos deraisa, we just brought psukim. We asked Stirim psukim. We said, how do you reconcile psukim? Chatzos is the deadline. Chatzos is when Trumas Hadeshim can be brought. So if Chatzos is the din deraisa, when to do Trumas Hadeshim, Heichi Magdimon, I'll read Veheichi Machrin, and also, how are you able to make it earlier sometimes? Because on Regalim, we do it at 10 o'clock at night. How can you make it earlier than the time? And how can you push it off later than the time until the morning? The ideal time to do Trumas Hadeshim is Chatzos, like we just explained in the Pasuk. Before we get to the answer, it's a fascinating Rashi and Tosfos here. Rashi writes, the top line, Vida Raisahu, Heichemak Dimon Garsinan.
Help me find the Rashi, please.
No. The top tier, right here, the top line here. Those, yeah. Vida Raisahu, Heichemak Dimon. If you're going to say that the Raisa, how can you make it earlier than the Raisa? Garsina Rashi says that's the Girsa, that's what we have the text in front of us. Below Garcin and Heichim Machrin, Rashi says we do not have the text, we shouldn't have the text of Machrin, don't push it off. Hey, that's why it's in parentheses in the Gemara. He doesn't like that text. Why not? Halo kol chetzer roi l'harama. This whole second half, who cares if we push it off? Once you hit Chatzos, once you hit midnight, it's completely permitted to do harama, Trumas Hadeshim, the entire point. Who cares after you push it off at all? Uma lanu im yacher, who cares if you push it off? So therefore Rashi says, you're not gorish, you don't have the text of Heichem Achrinam, don't push it off. Because again, once midnight hits, you have the entire night, the rest of the night, to do Trumas Hadeshim. We look over at Tosos, though.
It only says, it should only say Heichem Achrinam.
Exactly.
Right, because that's the issue.
Right, but Tosos writes, Heichem Achrinam, Heichem Achrinam. He says, Rashi lo gorish, Rashi Heichem Achrinam. Rashi takes out the text of Achrinam. Vinir Ali, Tosos says, it appears to me, this Shapir gorish lay, it makes sense to gorish Achrinam. There's a set time from midnight and on. How do you make it earlier on Mergalim? And how do you delay it on every single day? It sounds like in the mission, every single day they would delay it.
Right.
Of course, there's a big reason to ask why they delay it. There's a reason makdim l'mitzvos. You should do it the first time. And Rashi says, no. So Rashi seems to ignore the concept of Zerizim Makdim L'mitzvos. When a mitzvah comes, you're supposed to perform the mitzvah at the first opportunity possible. The first opportunity is midnight. So the Gemara is asking, why do you push off every single day till the morning? You're missing Zerizim Makdim L'mitzvos. Rashi's not concerned with that. Why not? So I thought to once say, a few years ago, that Rashi, I think, rejects the concept of Zerizim Makdim L'mitzvos at nighttime. And based on, I happened to see this yesterday, I was mechavin to a sefer that says this, that the source is Zerizim Makdim L'mitzvos, if you remember all the way back, I think it may have been the first shiur I gave for Daf Yomi here. We learned Daf Dalet and Pesachim from Avram Avinu, Vayashkem Avram Babokir. We learned from him. The Gemara that says, the Gemara never asks, why didn't Avram do it from the night before and start getting ready from the night before? The Gemara says, because he did it in the morning. I mean, Avram Avinu put in the concept, he created the concept of Zerizim Makdim L'mitzvos. It wasn't a Torahdik concept. Avram Avinu created this concept. So whenever a concept's created, you can only model how the concept was created. So when Avram did Vayashkem Avram Baboker, when it came to waking up earlier for doing the Bris Milah, woke up earlier to Akedas Yitzchak, he only did it in the morning. So therefore there's no concept at night, it never existed. So that's perhaps what Rashi's saying. I saw that in a Sefer Siach Yitzchak, I explained this as well. So Tos is like, no, Zuzim Akim L'mitzvah, this is any time you have a mitzvah, you do it as early as possible, whether it's day or whether it's night, you do it as early as possible. So Gemara continues now and says, again, if the Midiraisa, midnight is the time to do the Trumas Hadeshim, so how you have these other dinim that sometimes you do it earlier and sometimes you do it later according to Tosfos? So that's the question of the Gemara. So says the Gemara, Ella Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mimash Mishinemar Kol HaLaila, from the fact that the Pasuk says the entire night, Ein Yodea Shuhat Boker. Of course I know, the nighttime means it ends by morning. Why does the Pasuk need to say Ad HaBoker? I know what Laila means. Ma tamalomer ad boker. What's the drasha? What are we learning from ad boker? Tain boker lebok rosh alayla. Add a morning to the morning of the night. What does that mean? Add a morning to the morning of the night. So even the nighttime has mornings, if you will. Morning doesn't necessarily mean the morning where the sun rises. It means an earlier part of the time period. So the time period of nighttime, there's a boker of the nighttime. There's an earlier part of the nighttime and there's a later part of the nighttime. So add a boker to the nighttime. So that's where we have different levels. Sometimes you have to make the Trumas Hadeshim earlier. So the Gemara says, Hilkach, therefore, b'chol yom, every single day, torminus mizbech, b'kriyas v'gevro, samechlo, b'en m'lefon, b'en l'achrof. Sagya. every single morning. You could do it by, we're rejecting the drasha we made before. It's not really chatzos. We're saying it's a different point now. So we're making a different drasha now, at a boker. So normally, since you every single day, you could do Trumas Hadeshin in the morning time, and you'll be fine. B'yom HaKippurim, why do you make it a chatzos? The ikah chul shu the Kohen Gadol, avdina mechatzos. Because the Kohen Gadol is so weak, so all the avodas on top of him, we want to wake up earlier. Let's see, how does Rashi explain this? So why is wake up earlier? We don't want to put it, I guess, so close to the time period of this.
He says that he can rest.
You do a Trumas Hadeshin at 12 o'clock. You take it easy a little bit.
Okay. Because it's going to be a very long day.
Okay, so we'll break up the avodas a little bit as much as possible. So, chatzos, go do Trumas Hadeshin. Relax for a few hours, 4:30 in the morning. You could do the rest of the avoda. Okay, I'm not sure how much it saved, but I guess apparently each moment we try to save as much as possible to save the energy of the Kohen Gadol. So that's why I push it off to chatzos. However, uberegalim dinafisha Yisrael, where there's so many members of Klai Yisrael, v'nafishi karbanos avdina mashmaros harishona, they do it from the beginning of the third mishmar of the night, meaning four hours into the night.
It means that it says that they could have, because after the Trumas Hadeshin, they had to burn the ivarim that were not consumed overnight, and to set up the wood of the maracha, this had to be done. So. Right, so this was all had to be done before the shechita of Korban Tamid in the morning. So if you would wait till the morning to do all this, so then this would push off the shechita of the Korban Tamid.
This is for Vergalim, you're saying?
No, this is
for Yom Kippur.
For Yom Kippur. And that's what you're asking. Why doesn't Kohen, why does he get up later? Why does he have to get up chatzos? Let him get up later in the morning.
Because after that, he said the marachos.
Right, uh-huh. So it's a thing to do. So they wanted right away in the morning for him to start. So that they'll have a chance to rest. But if you would wait till the morning for the Kohen Gadol to get up and say in the morning to start, but you have other things that have to be done, pre-Korban Tamid things, and then so if you start in the morning doing those things that you normally would do, so then that would...
So you need to get more time to do that.
Yeah, so they would give him...
Okay. So that explains Yom Kippur. Now for the Regalim, explains the Gemara again. When it comes to Regalim, once again, the Nefishi Yisrael, where there are a lot of members of Klai Yisrael, a lot of Karbanos, Nefishi Karbanos, and there were a lot of Karbanos, Avdina Mashmaros Harishonah, they would go back even to 10 o'clock at night to do it. The Kasani timer, like the Mishnah tells the reasoning, that Lo Hayasa Kriyasa Gever Magas Ache Yisrael Zarelim Blei Yisrael, that the place is full. When it came to the rooster crowing, if that's the right word, and the man saying, now's the time for the Karbanos, so already by then, the members of Klai Yisrael was full with the Azara. So we see there are a lot of people and a lot of Karbanos. So who cares that the fact that there are a lot of Karbanos? You can't bring the Karbanos until the morning time. So Rashi explains, based on Gemara in Maseches Tamid, a Mishnah Maseches Tamid, that they have so many ashes from all the Karbanos that were being brought during Yom Tovim, they'd have to remove. Rashi explains. Let's see. They have to pick up all the ashes and place it in this tafoach, in the center. They have this huge mound of ashes, if you remember the Mishnah Tamid. They had to put all the ashes from wherever they were in the Mizbeach and collect them into the center. It was a big kavod to have that large pile of ashes on the Regalim. So this took time.
But I still don't understand. If we said that the Zman, we changed now the Drasha. Now the Drasha is that the Zman starts at Chatzos and it goes all the way to Adavokar.
So
this doesn't go according to anybody.
No, so now we're saying differently. We're saying differently. You have to. There's a lot of discussions here, but we're saying when it comes to the time of the Trumas Hadeshin, when it could be done. The two different steers in the Gemara that was in reference to whether there's a requirement to put it back on and whether there's an Isser Mila. Okay. Now we're talking in general, though, the Trumas Hadeshin can take place if you have ashes. The Trumas Hadeshin can take place as early as the first mishmar.
At the end of the third, but where does it? Because
the word ad boker, the word ad boker is extra. I know Chol Laila ends at boker. Why does the pasuk tell me ad boker? Ad boker means when it comes to the nighttime, you're supposed to break it up. Also, there's a boker. There's an earlier time within the nighttime that we allow the Trumas Hadeshin to take place, namely as early as 10 o'clock at night. Okay. Says the Gemara. My Kriyas HaGever. What does it mean, Kriyas HaGever? The Mishnah told us Kriyas HaGever, that's when the Trumas Hadeshin would take place on a normal day. So Rav Amar Kara Gavra. a gaver, there'd be a person who'd call out, now is the time to do Trumas Hadeshin. He'd be machris and announce, now is the time. Rav Shila Amar Kara Tarnagola, there Tarnagola would make the announcement, not make the announcement, would make the noise, and he starts seeing the sparks of sun, the beams of sun coming up. He, the Tarnagol, would make the noise, and now's the time. So Rav Ikla Lasre, the Rebbe Shila. Rav visited this place of Rebbe Shila. Lohaya Amora Lamekim Aleh, the Rebbe Shila. So there's no Rebbe Shila, who was the Rav of the town. He had no Amori. They had no translator who would usually amplify the voice. The way it worked is Rav Shila would whisper into the Meturgamim's ear, and the Meturgamim would announce it, amplify the voice to the rest of the people listening this year. So no one was there to stand in as the Meturgamim. So Kam Rav, Rav who was visiting, Kam Rav Ola, Rav would stand up, the Kamar Farsh, and he would serve as the Amora, the Meturgamim of Rav Shila. The Kamar Farsh, my Kriyas HaGavra, and he was talking about this sugya, was Kriyas HaGavra mean? Kamar Gavra? So when Rav interpreted it over, he said Kriyas HaGavra, and Rav said Kara Gavra. In Aramaic, in the language they understood, they said Kara Gavra, that a person would announce it. So Amar Lo Rav Shila, who's giving the shir, says to Rav, who's explaining his words over to the people, Lema Mar Kara Tarnagola. Why didn't you interpret my words as Kara Tarnagola, as the Tarnagola, the one making the voice, not necessarily the Gavra? Amar Lo, so he says, Aviv L'chare Zemer L'gardi Lo Mekabla Minei. This is a phrase he said. I used to sing play nice instruments in front of chasher people, and they didn't say anything to me. In front of you, you're going to say something to me? You're not accepting my words? Meaning, I told you what the rule. Listen to what I'm saying. I know what I'm talking about. So, Kiyava Kamina led Rav Chia, when he stood in front of Rav Chia, Umafrishna, they explained my Kriyas Gavra. What does Kriyas Gavra mean? Kara Gavra. I said it meant Kara Gavra. V'lo Amra Liv, L'mi did. No one said back to me. Vat Amrislin, you're telling me Ema Kara Lektarnagola? Rav says, when I said this in front of someone who's much greater than you, in front of Rav Chia, I interpreted the words Kriyas Gavra as Kara Gavra, he didn't say anything, and you, Rav Shila, you're telling me it means Kara Tarnagola? Amar Le, Mar Niu Rav Ninech Mar. So what does that response mean? So he says, Rav, you who are so chashiv, you're used to explaining the words of Rabbi Chia, so go and go back to your honor, go back to him. I don't need you here, basically. Amr Lay, so he says back, Rav says back to Amr Inchi. People would say, Itagris Lay puts Amre. So what does that mean? So Rashi explains, if a person's hired for a certain work, let him finish the work. Meaning, I started, don't embarrass me, make me go down now, let me finish my job at least. Others say, he said back to him, no, Malin Bekodesh Lomoridan. Once you pointed me as your Meturgman, you pointed me as the one to say over the words, you can't bring me down from this post, let me finish my job. So one of two statements he said, but Rav continued, or at least he claimed he wanted to continue serving as a Meturgman for that drasha. So either way, this machlokas how to interpret the words Kriyas Gever, does it mean Kriyas Gav, Kara Gavar, or does it mean Kara Tarnagola? So it's an interesting discussion. As the Nemuke Griv, one of the Achronim in the back of the Gemara, explains as follows. What's this machlokas? Whether or not it means Gavra, Kara, Tarnagola. So he explains based on the mission of Baba Kama. The mission of Baba Kama tells us, Eim Megalin Tarnagolim B'Yushalayim. You're not allowed to raise chickens in Yushalayim. Nipnei HaKachim, because of Kachim. I mean, you can't raise chickens because of Kachim. Because since chickens would peck away at the garbage, and they might come across a bone of something that's Tameh, and then they might bring the tummy bone to the kachim, and it might ruin the kachim. The kachim might become tummy. There's no chickens allowed in Yerushalayim because we don't want these chickens getting any kachim tummy. So the Yerushalmi apparently has a machlokas. Does that mean nowhere at all of Yerushalayim is excluded from having tarnagolim golem, or only places that would have kachim? People who would have kachim, if you bring kachim to your house, kachim kalim only that you could bring home to eat, you can't have chickens in your house when you have kachim. But another house where there's no kachim kalim, another house where there's no kachim being eaten, you can have chickens. So either, yeah.
But there is a situation where you have kachim all over Yerushalayim. Psachim. So that is an example that every single house is going to have psachim in it.
Right.
Kachim in it.
Right. So maybe he's talking about places that are outside the official borders of Yerushalayim. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I don't know Maisa how that would happen. I don't know. It's a good question. Like Pesach.
So what are you explaining about this?
So it's a good question. I don't know the answer. Either way, but that's the machlokas in the Yerushalmi. Whether it means there cannot be a chicken at all in Yerushalayim, or no, only the places that had kachim. So he says, if you hold that nowhere in Yerushalayim was allowed to have a chicken, so you can't interpret Kriyas HaGever to mean Kriyas Tanagola, because there's no chicken in town to make a noise. It has to be Kriyas HaGever. Kriyas Gavra has to be a person who was the announcer. But if you say that, no, only the houses that had kudzim in them couldn't have chickens, but the neighbors could have chickens, so then you could have chickens in Yerushalayim to make the noise.
We say the first bracha, Shena Sana Sech Yivino.
So some interpret it.
Interpret it as Leiv, and somebody as Tanagol. Saying, so why can't it could be both? And it wasn't necessarily a stira. Saying, why can't it be Kriyas HaGever and Kriyas HaTanagol?
I mean, I guess you, if let's say you require Kriyas HaGever, that's what you, and Kriyas Gavra, you interpret it to mean a man. So if you hear a chicken, so you can't use the chicken until you man actually makes the announcement. So there will be nafkamina. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasa de Rav Shila. I have two brises that support each of the opinions of Rav and one opinion of Rav Shila, whether it means Gavra or whether it means Tanagola. Tanya Kavasa de Rav, this brise that supports the opinion of Rav that meant Kriyas Gavra, that a person was the announcing, Gvine, who was a person's name, Karuz, this. He was the announcer. Green was the person. He was the Greeny the car. He was the announce. Mahu Omer. What would he announce? What would he say? The Kohanim lavodaschem. The Kohanim, get ready, perform the avoda. Stand up. Ulevim leduchnachem. And the Levim go to the duchening. It's interesting. We call duchening when it comes to the Kohanim on Shlosh Golem and Yom Kippur and stuff. That we call duchening. In fact, there's Levim who go to the duchening place. They had this little platform. If you remember, when we were going through the different measurements of the Beis Hamikdash, there's a little platform that was there, and that was really for the Levim to stand and to sing. So Levim, go to the duchening. Go to your little platform. V'Yisrael mamadchem, and Yisrael, go to your mamadchem. The Yisrael would have in each of the cities. They'd have not each of the cities, but there'd be this mamados. That just like the mishmaros of the Kohanim, there'd be 24 mishmaros. The different families would go down to a given week to the Beis Hamikdash. There's also mamados. There are different groups, families of Yisrael who would be laning certain parts of the
I tend to hear here it says that since when a yachid says that does a korban, he's supposed to be standing next to the korban. When it's a korban tzibur, there is a chiv at least to some Bnei Yisrael to be standing, so that
exactly
part,
so that's
of the part of the balim are there also.
Exactly,
it's all Bnei Yisrael.
Right. So that was the purpose of the ma'amadchem, to have Klai Yisrael standing over them,
some of them because
to represent
the balim.
Exactly, that's the Mishnah Tainus talks about these various dinim. So then the Gemara said and continues, via kol nishma, this guy's voice, Gvin crows, his voice was so powerful, hayakolo, his voice nishma b'shalosh parcels, it was heard three parcels. Maisa is once a story. Bar Griffiths Amelech, Shaya Bob Bederach, he's walking along the way. Vishama Kolo Begimah Parsals, he heard the voice of this Gvini Karos or whoever it may have been, three Parsals away. Uch Shebolabe, so when he went home, Shigel Matos, he sent gifts, presents to him. Okay, I'm not sure what the gifts were for. He was impressed, I guess. Vafa Pikin, nonetheless, despite that fact, Kohen Gadol Meshubach Mimenu.
It's like 10 miles. It's
12 kilometers.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty far. So I guess he was pretty impressed. He was impressed. I want to give you some tunnels for having such a powerful voice. So, Alpha Pekin, Kohen Gadol
Meshubach. Another Gemara said that they heard it in Yericho.
And that's what Gemara's about to say. Exactly, that's Kohen Gadol. So, Alpha Pekin, Kohen Gadol Meshubach Mimenu. The Kohen Gadol having a more powerful voice than him. Shinem Adamar. Mar would say, I think it's a Gemara in Tamid, later on apparently, but I think Tamid. Kfar Amar, Anna Hashem, he said, Anna Hashem, Chatasi, Avishi, Pashati, that we say in Yom Kippur, he would say, Anna Hashem, V'nishma Kolo, his voice would be heard, be Yericho, like you just said. V'amar Rabba Bar Barchana, V'amar B'yochanan, Mishalayim, Yericho, Yud Parso, would be 10 Parsos. That's 40 kilometers according to this calculation, right? So that's pretty far. Even though there is weakness, he's fasting, so his voice is everything is weak. And here, when it came to the case of the Gvini, the Karas, and every morning he wasn't weak, he ate the night before, perhaps even ate in the morning before he woke up, before Alos. And here was the daytime, meaning the case of the Kriyas Gever was already daytime. And the time of the Kohen Gadol was. The Kriyas,
the day,
no.
The day is more noise. Noise.
Right,
more
right. During Kohen Gadol was daytime, and the Kriyas Gever was still nighttime, and we know in a second, Damar Rebbe Levi, Mipnei Ma Ein Kol Sha'adam Nishma B'yom, why is it that the person's voice is not heard so well in the daytime, Kiderech Sh'nishma B'layla, as it's heard in the nighttime, Mipnei Gilgal Chama, the moving of the sun, that's during the daytime. Shemunasa berakia kecharish. It's what kind of like hitting the rakia, like what a cherish here, like a plow. Hamnasa barazim, a carpenter. Yeah, okay. Well, with the wood. Okay, like a saw. So.
So the sun is like going through the. It's like a saw.
Okay.
So then the Domeli Nagar, it's like a carpenter who's, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was what I was asking. He brings the Tosfos. He says, yes, that it says in the Moran Talmud that the Givini's voice was heard.
Right.
In Yericho. I think brings, so he says that wasn't the voice of Givini, that was the Kol Havara, the echo.
Ah, uh-huh, okay.
This echo was only.
Okay.
Okay, so it was.
Not bad.
I wasn't dreaming. We weren't dreaming. Hamne.
Right. He thought you were, though.
Right.
Yeah. I offered you some coffee before. The high chirga dioma lo shmei. What's this point? So before we get to the next
week. Hanisteret haze haba minesirat hashemesh barakia hanire bekarne haor.
So these sparks, these beams of sun are coming from the fact
the
that it's hitting. Right.
Right, the dust.
Lo shmei.
Nikra b'dashana nikra b'shem lo. The name is lo.
Okay.
It's la. Not la.
Okay.
Klomar ayin.
The hind the comer and Nebuchadnezzar. This one Nebuchadnezzar would say, "V'chol the passing Daniel, v'chol dairei ara kila chashimin." It was kila with a lamin alf lamin hey. That's a kila means referring to these little beams of light, these little dusts of sun. So what comes out of all this, however, is that we see it was more impressive was the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol was weak. The Kohen Gadol was during the daytime, where we said the daytime you're competing with the noise of the sun. Yet still, his voice went 10 parcels. While the Kriyas Gvine Karas was nighttime, it was where he's very strong, and it went only 3 parcels. So that was the difference between the two. Okay, now the Gemara says.
Right, so this according to this, the Mandamar is the man, is the Kohen Gadol's the voice, not the Memunda the voice, not the Tarnagol.
Exactly, right,
that's
right.
The whole thing came
right,
from, right?
Right. Okay, we still have time, right?
We have 5 minutes, yeah.
So should we do Tanur Rabbanon? Tanur Rabbanon. Il Mali Gilgal Chama had not been for the moving of the sun, Nishma Kol HaMamuna Sharume Vil, we could hear the voice of the Roman Empire or something, or Emperor.
The Hassan Basel of the Rome.
What? What do they call the Hassan Basel of Rome? Okay.
Roman crowds.
Right. Okay.
Vilmalik Kol Hamona Sharome had not been for the one of Rome, Nishma Kol Gilgal Chama, we'd be able to hear the sun, but we don't hear the sun anymore because all the Hassan and Basel, whatever it might be, so they're competing, overriding the noise from the sun. The interesting Tosus here. Should I mention the Tosus quickly? Tosus, the Baam Tosus, Mishum Chulshut the Kohen Gadol Avdinan, Mechatzos, because the weakness of the Kohen Gadol, they did do Chumas Adeshin. Mashma Dafil Chumas Adeshin, Shi Avodas Halayla, Enoch Sher Elabo. The Shemir Sedeshin has to be done dafka by the Kohen Gadol. We spoke in the first daf already that which avodas does the Kohen Gadol have to perform. Mashiv from the Gemara here, the Kohen Gadol dafka has to perform the Shemir Sedeshin. But then he goes on to say, L'hoch makdimen le k'dei she'enuach bein avodas zula avodas yom. Give him a little break. However, the Rivah writes, Perish de lo garsien Kohen Gadol, el'hochi garsien, mishim chulsha de Kohen. He held that no, even a regular Kohen could perform Shemir Sedeshin. Machlok is two by toes.
So what's the hopsha? What difference does it make for a Kohen to do that earlier or later? It doesn't make any sense. Because he doesn't have to do any more about this afterwards.
So that's what, as we were saying before, the end of Tosfos talks about, because a lot has to take place. You jump to the end of Tosfos, it goes on to the next page. He says, after you do the Trumas Hadeshin, you have to do Lasad de Maracha, and you have to do Lasad Ka'ivarm, you have to set up the bond, the wood.
The Kohanim that are not Ka'ivarm. Gedolim, the plain Kohanim.
Right. So that's the reason why. Uh-huh. But what comes out is, in Shemachokas, whether or not the Kohen Gadol has to do the Trumas Hadeshin or not have to do Trumas Hadeshin. So the Machlokas might be, just to say a little bit lum this before we end the shir, so we said before, does the Kohen Gadol have to do every single avoda of the day, or he only has to do the Yom HaKippurim avoda? That's one way to explain the Machlokas. That Shemus Hadeshin is not unique to Yom HaKippurim. So therefore, anyone could do it. Secondly, we say, no. Even if you're going to say that the Kohen Gadol has to do every single avoda, Shemus Hadeshin might not be considered avoda. The Gemaras will tell us later on, there seem to be a number of different Gemaras, whether Shemus Hadeshin was an avoda or not. If you hold this lava avoda here, maybe the Kohen Gadol doesn't have to do it. Maybe the Kohen Gadol only has to do avodos in Yom Kippurim. In Echanan, it could be an avoda of a regular weekday avoda. It could be a zrik of the Talmud, which is a regular weekday avoda. But only avodos does he have to do, but not necessarily non-avodos. This is simply a hechsher. It's preparing the Mizbech for the carbon Talmud.
Yeah, but to me, this still doesn't make sense, because the truth is that you had the whole, you know, everybody was doing the avoda. So the person who did the deshen could just stop, and there were many Kohanim. It doesn't mean that the Kohanim had to go and take the Atzimah.
No, he didn't. But since there's
a... So what's a chilu? What's mishum ha-chilush or ha-chalash?
Are you saying if you...
Right, the Hopshad, the Gemara says specifically chulsha, because he's going to be weak. Unless we say that he's fasting, so the earlier he does it, the less he's fasting, but it doesn't seem like that's a shot.
Yeah, I don't know. I get a chance to look into that. I'll look, quick look back here and see if there's anything on this. But I hear your question. What is the weakness of a Kohen? He's not doing the rest of the avoda. So.
No, because it was, you know, the cut had many people. I think Yom Kippur, all the Kohanim even came, right? We learned before. When was it?
The Shloshi Golem. Shloshi Golem.
Everybody was all together. All the Mishmaras.
All the Mishmaras came.
Yeah.
Not Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur was whatever Mishmar was at time.
It just simply says he was weak because of the Tzom. But that's...
All right.
Okay. Again, remember afterwards we're having a Masiba.